May we be helped to commence this evening's worship by singing together hymn number 349. Hymn 349, tune Rosso 687. Jesus, Shepherd of thy people, lead us through this desert land. We are weak and poor and feeble, yet we trust thy mighty hand. Great protector, by thy power alone we stand. Hymn 349, tune Rosso 687.
Let us read together for our instruction from the first chapter of the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter 1. Ruth, Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. The name of the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took the wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore, as she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, or should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then shall ye call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. The Lord bless the reading of his own holy word and help us to pray. Merciful and gracious God, as we now are brought together at this time, a little company, could it please thee to presence thyself in our midst, and to cause that there should be a flowing together, and that thou should visit heart to heart, and bring us to know thy sovereign ways, and to teach us what is best. Lord, we know that all that thou dost is ever best. It is us that do provoke, turn aside, walk in ways which are not becoming, do what is according to our own mind, neglect to approach unto thee to ask for wisdom and for direction. O Lord, how very vile we are in thy sight. And we have to prove, O Lord, that we cannot do anything that is displeasing to thee without it having some effect and some repercussion, even though there is great mercy shown by thee. And how great are thy mercies! Thou hast not dealt with us according to our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. We will confess that, dear Lord, and thou art just in all that thou dost do, and thou dost bring down and thou dost also raise up. Thou dost empty, but thou dost also fill. Thou dost make barren, but thou dost then cause there to be a bringing forth. Lord, we know that these things, how often they seem to bring the changes. Lord, as it has been expressed in our ears, even this day, that we are sometimes hot and sometimes cold, and that sometimes within a very small, short space of time, and we are grieved when we are so easily turned from the warmth and kindness and goodness of our God to provoke him with our foolish ways. But now, Lord, as we do come, we pray that thou wilt help us to look again to thee, as such as one of thy prophets should run away from thy presence or seek to, and yet he could not but found that thou didst deal with him. And Lord, thou wast very merciful to him in providing that fish that swallowed him up. It may be considered that such an existence was terrifying. Doubtless it was. And yet from that depth into which he had come, he looked again. Lord, we pray that if there is one here that has been wayward, oh, that they may come and look again. If there is one here that has been greatly tempted, yet they would make a way whereby they may resist the temptation. O Lord, we are exhorted to resist the devil, and he shall flee from thee. But we have no power in ourselves the snare to shun, but ever into ruin run. But Lord, thou art greater than our heart. Thou knowest all things. And thou, with thy overcoming grace, can subdue the passions of our old nature. And thou canst enliven the desires and longings of the new nature, and bring us again to worship at thy feet. O Lord, cumbered about with many things, but oh, to have a Mary's portion as she sat there hearkening to her Lord. Give us, Lord, an ear to hear, a heart to receive what thou dost speak, and help, Lord, in speaking. Lord, we sometimes tremble to think to even stand before the people, let alone to deliver the word. And if that be the word of God, particularly, Lord, we may speak those many words recorded in thy word, and they in themselves are good. Thou canst use them. And yet, O Lord, unless we ourselves are also affected and brought to know what those things are, what those things mean, and what are they, solemn reality of thy dealings are. O Lord, let us not always chide. Let us not always show thine anger. Indeed, Lord, thy mercy is very great. And thou dost smile, that smile of thy forgiving love. O, do then pardon a sinner. Receive us, Lord, for thy mercy's sake. Do in thy goodness build us up, strengthen, establish. Do, Lord, grant that those are things that thou dost lay upon us and send may sanctify. Separate us unto thyself, to hound us out of every refuge of lies, to bring us, Lord, to know that only Jesus can do helpless sinners good. We pray that thou wilt be mindful of those not able to attend, those that have parental responsibilities and are looking after their young at home. We are thankful that then this is the case, then they can, with modern means, listen in. But Lord, there may be distractions. They may have troubles even with the children. But Lord, sometimes even our children, as young as they may be, can testify to our own hearts. and that they, as by their ways and actions and things that they require, can preach a sermon. And Lord, we find it is not always so, that those are things that we have before us, even in our everyday life. There may be much teaching, but we are so slow to see it. Lord, may we see though in all our providences that thou dost work thy work. And oh, do make us, Lord, ever submissive to thy will and thankful for that which we have in those blessings which are bestowed so richly upon us. We would, Lord, desire to pray for those in affliction. Thou knowest, Lord, the afflictions that may assail particularly thy people. And Lord, we know that when they come, we may find that we cannot of ourselves find relief. But Lord, where thou canst bring the relief in such a manner that we may never have thought, thou canst grant thy goodness to be seen even in the midst of our adversities. And when there are the trials and the troubles that we have to face, to find that with Christ in the vessel, we smile at the storm. We do pray that thou wilt look upon, therefore, those who may be afflicted, our dear friend in all that she's passed through and now with us on this occasion, those that have also walked the path and have found that in all that they've tried to do, there has been that which has troubled them. And Lord, how often things the troubles that come, they come from the unexpected quarters. But Lord, in those things they're not unexpected to thee. Thou, Lord, seest all. Thou knowest men's hearts. Thou dost cause us to walk in that way for a purpose. And so, Lord, may it be that we in the end prove that all the things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know, Lord, the good effect that the fire has upon the gold. Gold in the furnace tried loses naught but dross. So is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. We will pray for the young. Lord, they are exposed to the world and all its snares, and we tremble for them as we see the world getting waxing or growing worse and worse. And Lord, we wonder what is before them. When we look back to our early days, how very different they seem to be then. Yes, sin abounded, evils were seen, men went about doing those things that were vile, but though that was so, much was withheld or done under cover, as we may say. But now how blatant man is in all his sin. And so self-directed and self-opinionated, and only considering the rightness of self and its and all that self may possess, a little considering that there is others that must be considered, and one who should be first and foremost. Are we indeed bringing dishonour upon the name of God? But that is so far from many thoughts. Lord, it's a mercy if that thought is breathed into our minds, and that it brings us up with a start and then causes us to pray that we may not bring shame upon thy worthy name. We do, Lord, pray that there would be with parents in bringing up their children, give them much needed wisdom, and may they help to guide their children into things which may be for their ultimate good. We cannot always tell when that will be so, but we may prove it perhaps in the years to come as the things are worked out. And Lord, we do pray that there would therefore go before and make crooked paths straight and rough places plain. We pray for thy servant attached to this place, where he may be ministering. We do pray that his labours may not be in vain, but rather that he may see signs following the preaching of the word, and also may receive souls for his hire. And Lord, we do pray that there would a grant that in the many labours that he may be held up. As the psalmist said, hold thou me up and I shall be safe. And oh, how it is with thy servants, they need that holding up. They also need, Lord, those that will hold up their hands in prayer and in supplications. Oh, we pray then that we might see that their labours are not in vain in the Lord. We do pray that there would be mindful of all those that bear office. Lord, it is sometimes with little encouragement that they do labour to do the things that are needful, and yet there is a little reward, except that thou dost reward those who walk in the fear of God, desiring not only to do what is right, but also to do those things in the right way, and not to be left to a grumbling spirit, but rather that we might be given that true submission to all thy will, and to discern that it is by these things that men live, and in all these things is the life of one spirit. Now, Lord, we will not multiply words before thee. Thou knowest our need. We will cast ourselves upon thee. cast us not off. So receive us graciously, as we plead all in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, who is ready to save. So save, we pray, and so leave us not. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices are that God willing, Mr. John Hart is engaged to preach here on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Matthew Hyde next Lord's Day morning and afternoon, with the afternoon service to commence at 2:30 p.m. On Monday evening, the 29th of May, we hold our chapel anniversary service, with the service to commence at 6 p.m. and Mr. Timothy Pocock is engaged, God willing, to preach. There will be no service on Tuesday evening, the 30th of May. A church meeting is arranged, God willing, for Monday, the 5th of June, to commence at 6:30 p.m. And today is a day for our monthly collection. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn number 960. 960. June Walton, 430. By faith in Christ, I walk with God, with heaven my journey's end in view, supported by his staff and rod, my road is safe and pleasant too. I travel through a desert wide, where many round me blindly stray, but he vouchsafes to be my guide, and will not let me miss my way. Hymn 960, June Walton, 430.
Thank you.
as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I will direct your attention to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, and read in the first part of verse 21. I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty. Ruth, the book of Ruth, chapter 1, and the first part of verse 21. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Ruth, Naomi had to prove the very opposite of what you've sung. The hymn writer confesses to a walk by faith, and therefore with that faith he walked with his God. How did Naomi go out? She went out according to her own thinking, according to her own desire, according to what seemed to be prosperous, that which was good in her eyes, and she suffered for it. And indeed we have to prove that if we go contrary to the word of God, if we go contrary to the direction of the Spirit of grace, if we walk not by faith, if we think that we can, by seeing the profit or prosperity of something which is not spiritual, not edifying for the soul, not for the benefit of our life, to walk in the ways which are honouring to God, then we will find that we have to confess, as Naomi did here, when brought again to ourselves, I went out full. She left at a time with her husband and sons because of a famine that came in the land. And yet that famine, it was as all the dispensations that the Lord brings us into, was to test and try. Now often we prove that the testing times are times of a great uncertainty, times when we can so easily be turned, times when we look for our own self-preservation or something of that nature, rather than looking to the Lord. But it is a great mercy when, having been brought back, we have the willingness to acknowledge, as Naomi did here, the honesty. What an honest confession it was when those that saw her and received her said unto her, "Is not this Naomi?" Naomi meaning pleasant. Doubtless the way had been pleasant before she left. But did she think she would find pleasanter things in Moab, where there was idolatry, where there was things which were not according to the very mind of God? But now she returned, she saw how plain it was that she went out. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we're made honest. Honest with ourselves and honest before God. And also honest to one another. To confess sin is no easy thing. Some may think that they can just merely say a glib sorry. But that is not necessarily repentance. The Lord brings us into repentance. The flesh won't like the way that the Lord deals with us. And it will bring bitterness as it did with Naomi. Yes, she went out with a husband and two sons. And now she had lost them all. The death had taken hold upon them, one after the other. She was left with her daughters-in-law. But there was one consolation. Her going down to Moab was not to be entirely fruitless. She came back with one who clearly saw that though Naomi had gone into a way which did not bring forth the fruits of her religion as it should, yet Ruth saw something in Naomi. She saw that she had a God which was far superior to the gods of Moab. She saw that she had a place where she belonged, which was far better than where Ruth was at that time in the land. She saw that wherever Naomi lodged, yet still the Lord had not left her. She may have felt that she had left her, forsaken and alone, but the Lord never leaves his people, wherever they are. And unless this dear daughter-in-law, as she became, perhaps was in some ways, doubtless there was also the natural regard. But Ruth saw something more than just what Naomi was to her naturally. And Naomi was to prove that Ruth was to be something more than what she might be just naturally. Here were two, they were returning. Or one, shall we say, returning, the other following and going along with this one in whom she saw that she had a people which observed the ways of God, the things of God. And now, God having returned unto Naomi's people, so there was now the day of plenty. So the famine had passed. The chastisement had come to an end. It had affected perhaps its purpose. Now there was there in the land a man that feared God. There was one who would do for his reapers as was for a good employer to do. And when he came to visit them, then said Boaz unto his servants that was servant that was set over the reapers. Then Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." And then he went on to inquire as to this reaper, this damsel. Whose damsel is this? It would seem, as we read on in that second chapter, that he was not unaware of her coming. He had heard of Naomi's return, so it would seem. And therefore, in a measure, not surprised, but he would make the inquiry. And often an inquiry of this nature is to bring the whole matter to the forefront. And he would have that Ruth might be made aware of his willingness for her to be amongst the reapers. And what a blessing it was. But before we go on any further in that, we would just say with regards to Naomi, she went out full, and the Lord has brought me again, and brought me home again empty. Observe that she recognized the bringing back that the Lord had brought her empty. But it was the Lord that brought her. She went out full. The Lord brought her again empty. No, it was a bitter thing. Wasn't there a sweetness in it? Yes, he did bring her again empty, and that all that she took out with her was lost. But she came back with this one who was in many ways more than a daughter to her. A one who would go and seek to obtain some means whereby they may subsist and continue in life. Ruth little realized what it would lead to. But as soon as Naomi heard into whose field she had gone, hope was raised up. The Lord's favour was a hoped for. When we say hoped for, it was not without the evidence. Hope is based on good ground. We need a good ground hope. And the purposes of God, as they are worked out in our lives, to see that a good hope brings its blessing. And so there was hope when Naomi realized this was a near kinsman. What was the hope? That there would be redemption. What did it mean when there was redemption? It would mean that what was lost was redeemed. How the redemption was to work out, Naomi could not tell. But nonetheless, as things began to develop, she could see that there was a means whereby the redemption would be of that nature which would bring joy, comfort and peace. More than perhaps at this stage, as she returned, she could ever have hoped for. But nonetheless, Naomi, she had to know what the sanctifying ways of God are. And we need to learn that continually. It is, or has often been said, the Lord empties whom he fills. He must empty us of self. He must empty us of those things that we have set our hearts upon, which have been but a temporal or for time. We must be rid of those idols that we may have set up in our heart. And we are very prone to it. And scarcely do we realise that we're doing it. Oh, we have so little understanding of ourselves until the Lord shows us what we are. We may think that we know only to prove that we don't know. We may think that we have passed from one state into another. Some foolishly think that when it's used much in the evangelical circles, but they would say converted that then sin is all forgotten. We have to prove, don't we, that it's not just like that. We can backslide. Naomi, she had fallen into the trap. Ephraim, he also did a fall. The Lord spoke against him. And Ephraim's experience was to be much akin, doubtless, to what Naomi felt. We have it in that 31st chapter of Jeremiah. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Ephraim hadn't lost his God, had he? And neither does a backsliding soul lose their God. A one that falls into perdition, well, he may lose his God because he never had him. Not as his God. Even if he acknowledged God. We have those characters that acknowledge God. Balaam acknowledged God. And God prevented him from cursing Israel. And indeed he had to bless him altogether. Even though Balak would have paid a good price. But Balaam knew that he could not speak what the Lord hadn't given. And yet that sad character did not know the God of salvation. about it's a mercy if we know the God of salvation. And if therefore we come again empty, the emptying is not something that self likes, not that it wants either. It certainly will not bring this response. The flesh is likely to complain against God and charge him for the state into which such have come. We had a next door neighbour. When we moved down, she was one that rather slowly accepted us. But as we got to know in a neighbourly fashion, then and she knew that we were Christians, those that went to the house of God. And she was willing in many ways to fall in, so to speak, with anything that we did not, or we either wished to do or did not wish to do. She once spoke to me about a tree that was on the borders of our grounds, and she felt that it needed pruning back. And she had a son-in-law who was a gardener, and she offered his services. And I said, "Well, what is the payment?" She said, "Oh, you need not worry about that." And so I said, "Well, I'll be very glad if he could. I agree with you, it needs some attention." When I came back from speaking to her into the house, the thought came to me, that son-in-law always comes on the Sunday, on the Sabbath day. So I did not immediately go back to her, but the next time I saw her, which was but a day or so after, I said to her, "I hope you don't mind, but please, we don't want it done on a Sunday." She said, that's all right, it won't be done on a Sunday. So you see her compliance in that way. But what I was coming to was this. She lost her husband some years back through an illness, and her complaint was that if God was a God of love, then why did he take my husband when we lived together and loved each other? She could not understand the sovereignty of God, and certainly she was not willing that God should take her husband. Well, whatever Naomi's thoughts may have been at the time, and though it had brought great bitterness, yet now with her confession, the Lord hath brought me again empty. Yes, empty. And all that she had depended upon was taken away, except her God. And there was the acknowledgement that God was her God. The Lord has brought me again. So it was not her just coming back, hoping for a better life. She did not know what she would have to face. Doubtless the sense of poverty would still be before her. But perhaps it was better to be poor amongst her own people than to be poor in Moab, we speak in a literal sense, but it may also be in a spiritual sense. When any go away from the house of God, and then are brought again to attend, they found that there's been nothing that this world could really give them and satisfy them. Perhaps they had entered into those worldly ways of trying to obtain gain, and in so doing they make great losses. And so they came back because of literal poverty, but now a sense of spiritual poverty. And that was the driving thing, all to be found then amongst one's own people, as they had been perhaps at one time. To return then can be a sweet matter, a sweet blessing. And there was sweetness in it, wasn't there? The Lord brought her again empty, but what was his purpose? To leave her empty? No. The Lord never leaves those empty that are his. He may bring a famine. He may bring you to face death. A woman to whom Elijah was sent, it would have seemed that she was not of Israel, and yet as she came down to the last that was in her barrel of meal, and the last that was in her cruse of oil, to make the last cake, and then to face death. There she was, gathering the two sticks. Well, some may fatalistic say, well, what's the point of that? But nonetheless, it was being there that the prophet, under the Lord's direction, found her and brought about the inquiry, and then to ask that she would first fetch water, then make him a cake. And she did it. She did it. You know, when we come to those extremities which perhaps we do not know today, not in that particular context, yet if death faces you, then to give the little that you have for the good of another, you may prove to be of no loss to you. But indeed it was no loss to her, it was gain. It was gain. She was to prove then the prophet's words that the barrel of meal were not empty, and the cruse of oil were not run out. And so day after day she was supplied, her son and the prophet. Now she walked by faith. We will not say that there wasn't even the glimmers of that evidence of faith when she was gathering her two sticks. But certainly now she could walk by faith. She proved a gracious God. She proved his goodness. And so Naomi was to prove the Lord's goodness. Returning was one thing, and then as her daughter-in-law, may say, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. It cannot be perhaps determined as to who may show that grace. But as we've already pointed out, when Naomi knew who it was that had showed such kindness to Ruth, then hope was raised in her heart. And Boaz, when he had inquired and discovered exactly that this was the Ruth that had come with Naomi, that he said unto her, unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. It is good when our heavenly Boaz speaks these words into our heart. We're brought then to know that to abide amongst the reapers, those that may reap from the word of God. Is there a portion for me? Is there something that I can glean and gather? You come in behind the reapers, perhaps fearful that nothing will be left. And yet, you know that there is, according to the law, as it was given by Moses, that which was left, they should not go back and reap. That which fell from their hands should not be picked up. But it was to be left for the poor and the stranger. Well, Ruth was a stranger and also poor. And there she was seeking to gather. And as she had pleaded to go into the field and reap, so first of all, the servant, Boaz's servant, had permitted it. And now Boaz would not only encourage her, but also make sure that she received something that would be sufficient. He said, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink at that which the young men have drawn. So who can touch thee? It is the preserving grace that was to be realised by Ruth. They may well have pushed her away, and some good men may perhaps deal, if left to it, not rightly with those strangers and those that may come seeking to gather something. It reminds me of the a woman that came to our Lord, whose daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. The disciples told the Lord to send her away. But the Lord, he confronted the woman and said, it was not meet to give the children's bread to dogs. But it worked and brought out the faith in her heart. And she was able to answer, "Truth, Lord, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Well, here then was one, though the circumstances, the situation are different in some respects, yet here was one like Ruth. And she would receive from the hand of this Boaz that which she could never have contemplated. For not only did she continue to reap that day and gather the handfuls of purpose, or those handfuls dropped on purpose, and to beat out an ephah, or that which was around an ephah in weight and capacity, and that was sufficient then for herself and for her mother-in-law. Now there was that by which they were sustained, not only the barley itself, but the kindness of Boaz. And then we find that when her mother-in-law discerned what could come forth and what may be the fruit of this relationship that was to be, that she said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, and that they meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and a wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. And then she said, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" She had heard of Boaz, and how that he was going to winnow the barley that night to the threshing floor, and instructed Naomi exactly what to do, to venture near unto this kinsman who could redeem all the possession that was Naomi's through Elimelech, and that was Ruth's through her husband. And so she went down, and when the man had laid down, so she ventured near to his feet. A sweet place that we are encouraged to come to the feet of our Lord and Saviour, that he may then cover us with that which would take away all our shame. But now we find that what took place, Ruth, when lying there, Boaz was awoke, realized that there was someone there, inquired. She put forth her plea. He then spoke of taking up her request to redeem her situation. And when before it was morning, so he called her to bring her veil and to fill it with 6 measures. Now an ephah was often considered as a measure. So for the 6 measures or 6 ephahs that should be poured into a veil, which now she had had to remove from her face, and it was an evidence of the favour of Boaz toward her. Therefore, what was about a solemn turning away, yet well, a turning to, as Naomi had come again, she came empty because the Lord brought her again empty. But now there was the evidence of favour. This is how it is with a penitent sinner who comes pleading mercy at the feet of Jesus Christ. He who came to give himself, who gave out of the abundance of his glory. For my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. He is now our ascended Lord. He's gone to the end of the law for righteousness. He gave his life. He's taken it again, that he may evidence the power of life that he gives unto his returning people. Weary of wandering from the Lord, and now made ready to return. It will be a sacred thing to return unto him. You may not perhaps have gone down to Moab, so to speak, but nonetheless you found your heart going out that way. You may not indulge in the lusts of the world to any great extent, and yet you have found the spirit of covetousness. You have not been without it. You may perhaps have put some things that are regarding the matters of your soul first, but then there have been other things that have kind of intruded, and therefore you have been left somewhat bereft. Bereft of the comfort, bereft of the favour, bereft of the blessing. Now the coldness, the carnality rising in your old heart, the darkness, the feeling of indifference that seems to spread over you until made ready to return. But then the returning sinner need never fear when he has such a God, such a gracious Redeemer as our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And that is the comparison that we make. Boaz was able to redeem. There was a nearer kinsman who had he agreed to redeem, or if he could have redeemed, then Boaz would have given him the liberty to do so. But the law cannot redeem. What the law could not do. And the first was to the law, finding then that it was not able to redeem, else its name would be marred. Its inheritance would be somewhat affected. Can a sinner then really be brought into and under the blessings of a holy God? Through Jesus Christ, whom the Father sent, that we might know the grace of that gospel. Not so that we would go on to sin, God forbid. The drawings of Boaz were never caused Ruth to return to Moab. She would grieve over those things which had separated or brought a difference between them. But now she was to know the readiness of this Boaz to redeem. And so in redemption, he would take her then into that relationship, that she should be his wife, and then there would be the fruit of children or a child. What rejoicing that brought to Naomi. She went out full. She returned, or the Lord rather, brought her again empty. But she was to see the great mercy of her God as being performed by this Boaz. And what mercies we find in our God, who has stooped so low and did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise. Ah, that is the wonder of it. And so she was to know the condescending mercy of this Boaz, indeed of her heavenly Boaz. For it is the Lord that does give life. It's he that takes it as well. It had been proved that the Lord takes a life, but now he gave a life. And it was to be of the royal line, the seed that would bruise the serpent's head, the one who would overcome evil and would bring righteousness. Ah, then it was this heavenly Boaz that is seen set before us. So, with the honest confession, as we have it here, Ruth was to soon know that her bitterness would be turned into joy, that her, I just cannot think now how it goes, but in that 61st chapter of Isaiah, it speaks of those things, the two contrasting things, and I must close. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 812. Hymn 812 to the tune of Grosvenor 154. Whene'er I make some sudden stop, for many such I make, and cannot see the cloud cleared up, nor know which path to take, I to my Saviour speed my way, to tell my dubious state, then listen what the Lord will say, and hope to follow that. Of friends and counsellors bereft, I often hear him say, decline not to the right or left, go on, lo, here's the way. Weak in myself, in him I'm strong, his Spirit's voice I hear, the way I walk cannot be wrong, if Jesus be but there. Hymn 812, tune Grosvenor 154.
Oh, dear.
dear Lord, follow with thy blessing. Take us each in peace and safety to our homes. And now, pardon every sin that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in us. We ask it for Christ's sake. May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us evermore. Amen.